From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. A state environmental official shared takeaways on Thursday from a draft air quality study of cruise ship emissions. The state was trying to measure their impact in downtown Juneau from data collected in 2019. The quick version is that downtown Juneau generally has good air quality, and cruise ship emissions didn't threaten the city's good standing with the Environmental Protection Agency.
But we definitely could see short-term impacts as a result of cruise ship emissions.
Cale Overcast is a chemist with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. He says those air quality impacts usually only lasted an hour or two.
Assessing cruise ship impacts turned out to be quite difficult. And we're really, really fortunate to have stumbled upon webcams that were provided by the snowcloud. Without that footage, we would have had a very difficult time determining where any of these spikes, what the sources were.
Spikes in unhealthy particulate matter that sensors around downtown Juneau collected that summer. The connections to smoke from wildfires in Canada and interior Alaska that summer were easy to figure out, but the webcams helped Overcast and his colleagues spot super localized sources like bonfires, shifts in wind direction, debris burns from Douglas, backyard fish smoking, and even food carts in Marine Park.
Our city hall site was located just north of very delicious Filipino barbecue vendors, and I'm sure those in city hall could smell it on days when the winds were blowing the right direction. And we saw that. We saw consistently days where our sensor at City Hall would be much higher than anywhere else.
The variability from hour to hour made making generalizations hard. They had to examine data day by day. The only times air quality got bad in downtown Juneau that summer was when wildfire smoke blanketed the region. DEC planned to keep collecting air quality data last summer without cruise ships to get a baseline. They switched to fewer but more robust sensors. He says the department plans to make the 2020 data on their analysis available this summer. They'll continue collecting data this summer, too. The study was a response to a glut of citizens' complaints about cruise ship emissions in 2017 and 2018. The cruise lines also changed some of their practices in response. In another news, this month's heavy snowfall has complicated travel and access for Juneau drivers and pedestrians. For people who use Juneau's public transit, they've also had to deal with bus stops blocked by snow berms. But KTOO's Matt Miller reports that the city has purchased new equipment to clear out bus shelters and nearby sidewalks.
A recent social media post highlighted the difficulty of the elderly and disabled accessing a Juneau bus shelter with big chunks of snow and ice piled right in front of it.
That was a new twist. I've never seen that before. Not that the snow was plowed into the bus stops. That was a new trick.
That's Cheryl Putnam, a Juneau disability advocate.
And I couldn't help but wonder if it was a new employee. She didn't know what they were doing.
Putnam says she has used a heavy electric wheelchair for the last 12 years. She remembers getting unstuck from snow at bus stops and on sidewalks many times, thanks to the kindness and help of strangers and drivers for Capital Transit and Juneau Access, formerly Caravan. Katie Kester, director of CBJ's Engineering and Public Works Department, which oversees Capital Transit, says they have 49 bus shelters around town.
It's absolutely essential that people of all ages and ability can access the bus stops. However, we sometimes on heavy snow days do have challenges keeping up.
Kester says they clear bus shelters of snow first thing in the morning, but most of them, about 95%, are located on state thoroughfares, which are usually cleared by State Department of Transportation snow plows.
So we don't always know when that plow is going to come by, so we could have just dug out a shelter and the plow would come by and rebury it.
A State Department of Transportation official for Southeast Alaska says it's the city's responsibility to keep bus stops and shelters cleared of snow, regardless of who piled it up. Kester says they have one employee dedicated to snow removal, but they call up other Capital Transit employees to help out on heavy snow days. Specifically for snow removal, Kester says Capital Transit just ordered two specialized vehicles that are built for clearing sidewalks and bus shelters. But she says they may not arrive for a few weeks or when the snow season ends. Putnam says those vehicles were on their wish list when she served on a local ADA commission.
It's great. And they couldn't get it at the time, but that's good to hear. If they do it right, they can cover a lot of ground.
Kester says the $395,000 cost of the two vehicles was paid by federal and state grants and a small local match. In addition, the CBJ Assembly on Monday approved spending $92,000 in federal and local funds for two trailers and a new truck to pull the vehicles, plow snow, and wash down bus shelters. And Kester encourages anyone to report a blocked bus shelter to call them at 789-6901. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
Last year's salmon harvest across all species in southeast Alaska was one of the worst in 50 years. KSTK's Sage Smiley spoke with Southeast's regional fishery supervisor about last season and hopes for the coming year.
A special report released in March paints a stark picture of 2020's salmon harvest in southeast Alaska.
Overall, it was one of the lowest harvests we've seen in, I think, since the 70s.
Lowell Fair is the Southeast Regional Supervisor for the Commercial Fisheries Division of ADF&G. It was already clear from preliminary reports that last year's salmon season was a rough one, but just how rough? For sockeye, the harvest was the second lowest since 1962. King harvest was in the bottom five harvests since the early 1960s as well. Coho and pink harvests came in stronger than kings and sockeye, but were still among the lowest years in recent memory. Fair says ADF&G doesn't have an answer for the almost 60% drop in salmon harvest between 2019 and 2020.
Marine survival is what our biggest guess would be, but that's always hard to pinpoint because we just don't have the funding to do the research to really look at those kinds of studies.
If there's a silver lining, it might be the forecast for 2021's pink harvest, which should be average. In its report, ADF&G doesn't forecast salmon returns to the region for any species besides pinks. That's because it's the only species they have enough data on.
There's just so much uncertainty already in survival that when you have uncertainty in the data, then that makes it just problematic to begin with.
Fair adds that F&G manages all five species based on what comes back.
We just don't have the money to research, you know, why that amount came back.
But the numbers Fish and Game does have say pinks should come in a bit better than last year.
Now, overall, we're expecting a better return run next year to southeast.
With some digging, putting together forecasts from hatcheries, sport fisheries, and intergovernmental partnerships with Canada, Fair says 2021 might just be better for all five species.
I mean, it was one of the lowest overall salmon harvests we had seen since, I think, the early 70s. So I would hope so, you know, and not only was that the case, but prices were down, and so it was really tough on fishermen.
ADF&G hasn't finalized ex-vessel prices for salmon in Southeast last year. Preliminary reports show about a 30% decrease in per-pound price for sockeye, pink, and chum compared to 2019, and a slight rise in price for kings and coho. The combined low catches and low prices led Southeast communities to seek a disaster declaration for the 2020 salmon season. In Wrangell, I'm Sage Smiley.
And in politics, the Alaska House of Representatives passed a bill today to extend Governor Mike Dunleavy's COVID-19 disaster declaration. The bill would make the extension retroactive to mid-February when the declaration expired. Dunleavy originally proposed the bill earlier this year before the declaration expired, but he now opposes the extension, saying the state no longer needs to be in a state of emergency. He wants a more limited set of provisions, and Senate leaders have written a revised version of the bill in line with his request. The House debated the measure, House Bill 76, for more than an hour during a floor session today. Bethel Democratic Representative Tiffany Zulkowski noted that the statewide COVID-19 threat level remains high.
The simple fact is House Bill 76 reliably and efficiently provides Alaska the tools and resources needed by our businesses, hospitals, nonprofits, and local governments.
Hospital leaders have said the mandatory COVID-19 testing of air travelers is necessary. That program ended in February when the disaster declaration expired, but Dunleavy maintains that extending the declaration would undermine Alaskans' trust in the state government and harm the upcoming tourism season. For more on this story, go to ktoo.org. This is KTOO News.